As we look at this you're listening to the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Radio Network, and this is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you that the King is coming. The Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is located at www.moresureword.com. That's all one word, all small letters, www.moresureword.com. That's www.moresureword.com. On that website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and prepare to endure to the end of this 42-month Antichrist war on the saints. Once again, this is Jim Searcy reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when we see these things come to pass, that we are to look up and know that our redemption draweth nigh. Only be very strong and of good courage. Stay in the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus. Authority, this tremendous authority beyond imagination that we have been given, this authority that we have in Messiah. As we continue looking at this mystery of the ages, brethren, don't ever forget that everything which we receive from God is only by and through faith. This is what we're about now. We're going on to perfection. We want to have our faith grow from little f faith to capital F faith, because that's the heart cry of our Lord and King. When he returns, will he find faith in the earth? And yet there are two things which make that authority solid, established, and steady, and unmovable. And we need it like that, brethren, because this time when God comes down, not only is he going to shake the earth, but the heavens also. So what are these two things that make our authority so solid, so established, so steady, so certain, so sure, so unmovable? There are two things upon which our faith is solidly anchored. What are they? Two immutable things. That should give you a hint. What are those two things upon which our faith is founded? Well, we know our faith is founded on God said so, of course. But why is that such a sure foundation? Two things. Number one, God cannot lie. It's the only thing it's impossible for God to do. Nothing else is impossible. That's one. God cannot lie, and God does not change. So you see, this is why we have this problem with these rationalizers who come in trying to spy out our liberty. Because God does not change. No, we don't need somebody telling us why God did not mean what he said. We don't need somebody telling us why we should not do what God said to do. Brethren, we've got two sure things. Number one, God cannot lie. And number two, God does not change. And this is why we're going to cut off occasion quicker and sharper than ever before. Because we're at war now. It's the Antichrist war on the saints. We don't need their vain, powerless religion. No. We need to get our faith. And if they don't want to go on to perfection, if they want to undermine and destroy our faith and give us some sort of vain, powerless religion, go someplace else and play. We're not playing here. No, we're not. But we have these two immutable facts. Yes, two immutable facts. Number one, that God cannot lie, and number two, that God does not change. Our faith and our authority is based on the more sure word that is written. God said so. Or as Jesus said when demonstrating his authority over Satan, it is written. It is written. It is written. God is honored by faith, brethren. I hope you understand this. This is so important. God is honored by faith. You want to honor God? Faith is the way to do it. God is delighted by our faith and trust in him. It honors him. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. And our faith is based on two immutable things. Knowing that God cannot lie and that God does not change. Yeshua, the Messiah, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. The I Am. Hallelujah. Yeshua Messiah by his Spirit is come in the flesh. I hope you see this, brethren. God cannot lie. God does not change. Yeshua Messiah, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. The I Am, God Almighty, Creator and Redeemer. Yeshua Messiah by his Holy Spirit is come in the flesh that we might walk in authority in Messiah. The Word of God is the bedrock foundation of our faith and authority. God said so. God said so. God said so brings us, by faith, to a higher reality than our circumstance, or what we can see, or what we can feel, or what we can smell, or what we can taste, or what we can hear. How firm and sure should our faith be? And what and who is our faith founded upon? Our faith must be founded only on the integrity of the Word of God. Scripture is the revelation of the mind and will of God, and every man ought to search it out to understand the meaning. The Christian knows the Holy Bible to be the Word of God. We taste that sweetness, and we know the power, and we see the glory of the Word of God. There are many prophecies already fulfilled in the person and work of salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many prophecies regarding the church and the world are now seen in the light of historical fulfillment. Brethren, we are so blessed and privileged to be alive at this time. Every saint who ever went before us longed to look in to see what we are seeing. We are seeing prophecies being filled so fast, you can't hardly keep up with them. And the prophecies that have already been fulfilled form rock-solid proof and truth of the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Ghost inspired those holy men to speak and write what is in our Holy Bible. And these things which the Holy Spirit of God moved these men to write, some of it 2,000, 25, 26, 2,700 years ago, it's happening now like no people have ever seen it happen. And the Holy Ghost so moved and directed those holy men to record in Scripture what they had received from him. And they made known to us, by the Word of God, what God had clearly expressed and made known to them. And brethren, because of where we are now at in time, and because we have the fullness of the revelation given to each one of those, and because we have the Holy Spirit in us now, yes, in us, and that's a big deal, better and different and more solid even than what Isaiah or Jeremiah and the other prophets had. We have a more sure word, brethren. Through their words, which are also made known to us, we have rock solid certainty. What God says to us, God does not change. God does not lie. God cannot lie. God does not change. Two immutable, solid reasons for faith, brethren. We have a more solid basis for faith than any of the holy men who went before us. We do have a more sure word of prophecy than Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, or any of them, based upon two immutable, solid reasons for faith. we do have a more sure word of prophecy, the very word of God. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ, whose name is called the Word of God. Hallelujah. Any and all other sources must be tested and proved for conformity to the Word of God, the more sure word of prophecy. So the Scriptures, brethren, the Scriptures, and not any man, not any teacher, not even Brother R.W., not Brother Jim, not even Brother Don, the Scriptures, not any man, not any teacher, not any prophet, are to be accounted the words of the Holy Ghost, the very words of God. By the Holy Bible, God speaks to His people with the plainness and simplicity that His children understand. Now, the rocket scientists don't get it. The people that come in with a religion of rationalizing why God did not mean what He said, this vain, powerless religion, that they want us to join them in their vain, powerless religion of why we should not do what God commanded. We don't want that. No, that ain't faith. They ain't got faith. They need to be born again. That's the only thing you can tell them, brethren. They need to be born again. And we're not going to play with them. We don't want to play their game. We don't want a vain, powerless religion. We want our faith to grow. We want to go on to perfection. If they want to come along, fine. If they want to play some games, go someplace else. The Word of God speaks with all power and all the accuracy that His children know. The words and the expressions come from God, and His children know it. The great authority that we have in Messiah comes as faith gives substance to what we find in the Scriptures. We know the Holy Bible is a book written by holy men who were moved by the Holy Ghost, and we know that we do well without any other teacher or prophet. No, we don't need it. We've got a more sure word, brethren. We trust only Yeshua. We trust only Jesus Christ, whose name is called the Word of God. God honors His Word above all His name. This is what's so ridiculous about these people that come in with some sort of occultic magic word for some pronunciation of God's name. Listen, God honors His Word above all His name. God said so. It's a more sure word. God honors His Word above all His name, and faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Oh, brethren, I hope you see how it all fits together, how it all ties together. Trust Jesus. Trust Yeshua, the Messiah, whose name is called the Word of God. Hallelujah. Faith and authority in Messiah, that glorious mystery of the ages, has been the mark of God's servants from the beginning of the world, brethren. Our faith and authority does not stand in the wisdom of men, and this is why we're not going to tolerate these people with this vain, powerless religion. We don't need it. Take it someplace else. No, we're going to press on into the mystery of the ages. Our faith and authority does not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Hallelujah. God Almighty. That's where our faith stands, in the power of God Almighty. Faith is belief plus the Holy Ghost. These poor people, with their vain religion of rationalizing why God did not mean what He said, they need to be born again, and they're too far bound by religious spirits to even know they need to be born again. They're too bound by religious spirits and rebellious spirits to even know that you can be born again again. Some people are that far gone. But we know that faith is belief plus the Holy Ghost. The devils believe better than we do. They know the reality and power of God better than we do. They've seen God face to face. But they can never have faith, brethren, because they can't have the Holy Ghost. And we know that faith is belief plus the Holy Ghost. And we grab tight hold of what God has said. That's the basis of our faith. God said so. And we will remain steady and unmovable, as not only does the earth shake this time, but even the heavens also. And we will remain steady and unmovable, knowing that God said so. Oh, glory to God, brethren. Oh, this is awesome. It's so simple, so beautiful, and only children can get it. And this is why, unless you become as a child, Jesus said, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. You see, if people really love the truth, brethren, they would come to real faith in Messiah Yeshua. But the problem is they don't really love the truth. They love their vanity. They love their rationalizations. They love these words and doctrines of men. They don't know the Word of God. Their faith is not based upon God said so. No, they've got extra stuff. Faith is not the absence of reason, brethren. No, it's not at all. Faith is the highest act of reason. Brethren, it takes a whole lot more faith to be an atheist than it does to believe in God. The more sure word of prophecy clearly proves the authority of God Almighty. The Holy Bible is different than any other book. Over 25% of the Holy Bible is about things written hundreds and even thousands of years before they happened. There are over 2,000 such more sure prophecies which have come to pass already with precise, exact fulfillment. God has stepped up the plate over 2,000 times and every single time knocked the ball out of the park. The only time he didn't knock the ball out of the park is if they'd put it so far out of the strike zone he had to take an intentional pass. But what's he going to do when he steps up to the plate for 2001? If he's in a strike zone, he's going to do what he's always done. He's got a track record, brethren. Oh, brethren, I hope you see this. He's going to knock it out of the park again. And we're seeing these things happen now like nobody's ever seen it. We've got more reason to have this great faith than anybody who's ever gone before us. Consider just the first coming of Jesus Christ, Yeshua the Messiah. There were about 330 specific prophecies written about him hundreds of years before he was born in Bethlehem. And he fulfilled them all, every one of them, with exact precision. And one mathematician calculated the odds against anyone being able to do what Yeshua the Messiah did. And in regarding to fulfilling just those 330 prophecies, the odds against anybody doing that is 87 with 93 zeros. I'm going to say it again, 87 with 93 zeros. Nobody can pronounce such a number. That number is so far beyond infinity, so far beyond what the best mathematicians in the world define as infinite. No one can pronounce such a number as those odds against fulfilling the prophecies which just Jesus Christ fulfilled in his first coming, when he came as the perfect Lamb of God to redeem sinners. Brethren, our faith is on a very solid foundation. It is the more sure foundation. It is much more sure than anything we can see, feel, touch, smell, or taste. And the sad reality is that only a very few today really do love the truth. And that's just what God was telling us in 2 Thessalonians, where he said that there's going to be a strong delusion sent by God that they all might be damned because they love not the truth. And it is a sad reality. And when we look at it, we do mourn at how very few really do love the truth. And we're faced with a very difficult decision. But it's a decision every one of us have to make. Are we going to go into the kingdom of heaven with our Lord, or will we go to hell with our family and friends? You see, the problem with these people is they really do not love the truth. They don't love the truth because their deeds are evil. That's why. See, this is why they want to do away with the commandments so bad, because their deeds are evil. They will not come to the light of the truth. They don't love the truth. They hate the truth because their deeds are evil, and the light of truth would reprove their deeds. And they can't take reproof. We've seen that. And it is sad how men today hate reproof. It's a sign of the times. We are in a generation. It's a generational thing. We are in a generation which is without reproof. And brethren, we need to learn. If we're going to be children of God, whom the Lord loves, he chastens. He reproves. That's a higher form of love than it is to flatter somebody. My goodness. And see, this is how the Antichrist is going to accomplish leading everybody to hell, with flattery. That's not love. But the real problem with these people is they do not love the truth. Now, they ain't going to listen to that. Brethren, the only thing we can tell them is that they must be born again. Jesus said, you must be born again. So that's the only thing we can tell them. And when they say, well, I was born again. Well, you just say that proves once saved, always saved is a lie. But thanks be unto God. The whole Bible tells us we can be born again again. That's their problem, brethren. They do not love the truth. And they will receive, and they have received, a strong delusion. They come in here working every abomination of Proverbs 6, and they do it religiously to try to get us to join them in their stupid, vain, powerless religion. Instead of going on to faith, we're going on to perfection, brethren. Our authority in Messiah is a firm, solid expectation that God will perform all that he has promised us in Christ. Hallelujah. And this gives our soul great joy, even in great tribulation. Our faith gives substance or reality in our soul, in our mind. It is a reality based on firm certainty and facts. And it results in that authority which we have in Christ, in Messiah. Hallelujah. You see, faith proves to the mind the reality of things that cannot be seen by the eye. Brethren, if you can see it, it's not faith. Everything you can see, it's going to pass away. Our faith better not be based upon what we can see, because faith is the evidence of things not seen. It is a full approval of all that God has revealed as true, holy, just, and good. And we don't pick and choose what we like and what we don't like, what we believe and what we don't believe. God said so. That's all this child of God needs. This understanding of faith is explained by many examples of persons in former times who obtained a good report in the Word of God. Faith was the principle of their holy obedience, their remarkable service, their patient sufferings. Almost every martyr could have been delivered, but they chose not to be delivered because that they might attain unto a better resurrection. The Bible gives the most true and exact account of the origin of all things. And we are to believe it. The Bible is so far ahead of science today, they'll never catch up. It is the more sure word because God said so. God said so. And God cannot lie, and God does not change. Faith is much more solid than what we can see, or the facts of our present circumstances. Why? Because we have the more sure word. The higher, the greater, the more faithful reality that God said so. All that we see of the works of creation were brought into being by the word and command of God. That is authority and power, brethren. And Abraham is such a fantastic example. Abraham was called the friend of God. Man, what a title. That's a title we all want to shoot for. Jesus said to the apostles once, he says, you know, you call me master, and so I am. And I'm not going to call you servants no more, because a servant doesn't know what his master is doing. But I'm going to call you friends, because you understand. But what a title that Abraham had. He was the first to have that title. He was called the friend of God. And the father of all them that believed God. It's profound, the example that Abraham gives us. Everybody wants to claim Abraham. Every religion wants to claim Abraham. Jews want to claim him. Christians want to claim him. Muslims want to claim him. They all like to glory in calling Abraham their forefather in their faith. And however exalted in different respects of his life. Abraham had nothing to boast in the presence of God. Abraham has been saved by grace through faith, just the same as anyone else who ever gets saved. He had no reason to boast, as good as Abraham was. Abraham was saved the way anybody else gets saved, by grace through faith. And all who will be saved will walk in the authority in Christ. This authority is only available in Christ, and it can only be done by faith. Romans chapter 4 tells us a lot about Abraham and his faith. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him who he had believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body dead when he was about 100 years old, and neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able to perform. Abraham was fully persuaded. Are we fully persuaded? Take a look around you, and then take a look in the mirror. Are we fully persuaded like Abraham was? Oh, this Abraham, he's something. Man, here he is 100 years old. And if you came up to Abraham's tent, you knew right away before Abraham came to the tent door, this was a godly man. This was a God-fearing man. Why? Well, you saw the altar outside his tent there. You saw that altar, and it wasn't like the other altars. No, this altar was fresh. This altar got used. Abraham was a God-fearing man. When Abraham came out and said, well, what's your name? I'm Abraham. Abraham, the father of many nations. Well, how many children you got? Well, I don't have any children yet. You're going to be the father of many nations, and you know, you're no spring chicken. And then he started laughing and mocking. And it didn't go long, though, brethren. God said so, Abraham would say. God said so. God said so. Oh, they knew right away this man, this godly man who feared God, he was full. Now, when we take a look at that one in that mirror, are we looking at somebody who was fully persuaded? Are we fully persuaded? Based upon the fact that we know that God said so. See, that's where it is, brethren. Are we fully persuaded? Based upon God said so. You see then why faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. All brethren, it all ties together. This mystery of the ages, it's simple for children. You should see then why reading the word of God is so much more important than listening to any teacher or seeking knowledge and wisdom anywhere else. And this is why we make no apologies. We will stay word focused here. If you want a bull session, go someplace else, because we are going to stay focused on the more sure word which is written. Abraham did not focus on the years which had passed before his call. You see, God told him he was going to be the father of nations, changed his name to Abraham when he was 86. 14 years he had to wait for the fulfillment of this promise. And 86 is pretty far past childbearing age already. 14 years he was tested in this faith. But you see, Abraham did not focus on his failures. He didn't focus on his age. He didn't focus on all the physical reasons that any doctor would give him why this couldn't be. No, he kept his focus right. He kept obedience based upon God said so. Abraham did not even focus on any failure in his faith. No, he didn't. The word of God is very expressly clear on this. He believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. This is what made Abraham righteous. His faith. You see, faith is what honors God. That's what God wants us to have, faith. Like Abraham, he believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Yes, Abraham was saved and justified the same as anybody else, by faith in him whose name is called the Word of God. You see, all believers are justified and walk in this authority in Christ, in Messiah, only by faith. Their faith being counted for righteousness. There is no justification other than justification by faith. Their faith is the only means of uniting them with Yeshua, Jesus, the Lord, our righteousness. Oh, glory to God. People pardoned and forgiven by God are the only blessed people on this earth. The only blessed people are people who are pardoned and forgiven by God. Justification by faith makes you a blessed person, and there ain't no other way to be a blessed person. I don't care if you got 30 bazillion trillion dollars. You're not blessed. The only blessed people are people who have been pardoned and forgiven by God and been given righteousness from God by faith. Abraham was justified 14 years before his circumcision, and it's therefore very plain that this work that he did, this rite of circumcision, was not necessary in order to justify Abraham. This is what you tell the people that come in here with trying to sell their vain, powerless works righteousness religion. It was a sign of the original corruption in human nature. It was a sign or seal to confirm God's promises to him. It was to assure him of his being already a real partaker of the righteousness of faith. So Abraham became the friend of God and the spiritual forefather of all believers who walk after that example of his obedient faith. You talk about obedient faith. How would you like for God to tell you to take your son, your only son, and go sacrifice him? And Abraham rose up early, brethren. Oh, glory to God. Man, Abraham believed in the resurrection. Oh, see, Abraham knew God said so, that God had already made a promise that he was going to bring through this seed, this promised seed coming out of him and coming out of Isaac and coming out of Isaac's children. Abraham knew God already made that promise, so he didn't know what God was going to do. But he knew, if necessary, God could, up out of those ashes, bring Isaac back. Oh, he rose up early. Boy, you talk about faith. Man. And the seal of the Holy Spirit in our sanctification is what makes us new creatures. The Holy Spirit is the inward evidence of the righteousness of faith and this great authority in Messiah. This mystery of the ages, Messiah in us, Christ in us, the hope of glory. That the promise was made to Abraham long before the law proves that it's all pointing to Messiah, whose name is called the Word of God. All the promises of God are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. In Yeshua, the Messiah, all families of the earth shall be blessed. The law worketh wrath, brethren, by showing that every transgressor is exposed to divine judgment. And when you talk about judgment from God Almighty, He can dish it out. You see, we're all born sinners, and we'll all die sinners, bound for hell or redeemed sinners, bound for glory, based upon our faith, based upon the choices we make to love the truth or to reject the truth by the Spirit of truth, by being born again and becoming a child of God. And just like a child, because God said so, I don't need any more than that. Everything that God gives to men is only received by faith. You don't receive anything from God any other way than by faith, that it might be totally of grace that anybody is saved through faith. Oh, there ain't no other way to be saved, brethren. No other way. These people that are so goofed up to think that the way they keep Torah gets them righteousness, that stinking works righteousness, they're going to hell just as sure as those people that want to sell us their vain, powerless religion of rationalizing why God did not mean what he said. The promises and gifts of God are made sure by the more sure word of God to all who are of that same like precious faith of Abraham, whether they're Jews or Gentiles. In all ages, there is no other way to be justified. No other way. We must be fully persuaded. Is that one in the mirror fully persuaded? The justification and salvation of sinners, the taking to himself of the Gentiles who had not been a people, was a gracious calling of things which are not as though they were. You see, God, by creating everything that exists, and by doing that with just nothing other than his word, proves the almighty power of God. You talk about power. Everything that exists, everything that we can see and everything that we can't see, came into being just because of the power of God speaking it into being by nothing other than his word, Yeshua, Messiah, Jesus Christ, whose name is called the Word of God. Oh, brethren, it all fits together. The nature and power of Abraham's faith is very easy to see. He believed God. And he looked for the performance of God's promises. And that honors God, brethren. That's faith. His faith gave him firm hope when the case seemed hopeless. It is weakness in faith, brethren, that causes men to stagger and fall because of focusing on the difficulties in the way of the promise. Abraham would not admit or allow argument or debate, and we're not going to either anymore. We're not going to admit or allow argument or debate anymore. God said so, Abraham would say. God said so. God said so. That was his faith. That's our faith. I'm fully persuaded. Are you fully persuaded? You see, unbelief is at the bottom of all our staggering and failure related to God's promises. The strength of faith appears in the victory of faith over fears. And this is why when we fear God, you see, we don't have other fears. God honors faith, and faith honors God. And great faith honors God. It's the only way you honor God, is with great faith. Abraham's faith was imputed to him for righteousness. Faith, more than anything else we can do, gives glory to God. I hope you don't miss this, brethren. Faith, more than anything else we can do, gives glory to God. Faith clearly is how we receive the righteousness of God, the redemption which is by Jesus Christ, and the glory of the authority that we have in Messiah. Hallelujah. Faith in your faith, brethren, is faith gone astray? I hope you hear this. We're not talking about faith in your faith like a lot of these prosperity gospels try and sell you. Faith in your faith is faith gone astray. It's Christian occultism. Faith, the means by which we receive the gift of God, cannot replace the one who gives the gift. I'm going to say it again. Faith, which is the means by which we receive the gift of God, cannot replace the one who gives the gift. Our faith and our authority is based only on God said so. It is not the strength of my will. It is not the strength of my faith. It's based only on God said so. It's not by my saying so. Or anything else or anybody else saying so. But it is by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Our faith and our authority is based on God said so. If it's based on anything else, it is not real, true, saving faith. It is not real, powerful faith. It is not the faith of Abraham. Our faith and our authority is based only upon God said so. Do you see why faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God? You see why reading the Word of God is so important? You see why we don't make apologies, why we don't give occasion to those who want to come in and not stay sharply focused on the Word. Brethren, you will not have much faith if you have not read the Word of God. But here's the good news. If we will turn at His reproof and start now to do the best we can, the Holy Ghost will fill in all the gaps. See, because it's all about the Holy Ghost anyhow. And since it is the Word of God, brethren, at least one time, how can anybody call themselves a Christian if at least one time, since it is the Word of God, at least one time, it ought to be read the way God put it together? Didn't God know what He was doing? Isn't God God? Shouldn't we have that much respect for the author of this book of truth to read it like we'd read any other book? How can people call themselves Christians? Sometimes 20 years never having read the Holy Bible. The book of God said so. The basis, the bedrock basis of faith. The way that God put it together for us. I don't understand it, brethren. I hope you can see why I'm so hard on these people that come in here claiming to be Christians who have never read the Word of God. It is the Word of God. And since it is the Word of God, at least one time it ought to be read the way that He put it together, the way He organized it, the way He preserved it, the way He purified it for us. It should be read at least one time as He instructed, line upon line, precept upon precept, precept upon precept. It should all be read. Brethren, it is all the Word of God. At least one time from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21. Line upon line. Precept upon precept. Before the here a little, there a little. Then we can, by faith, receive the fullness of that great and precious promise in John 14:26, where the Lord told us that it was good that He went away to be at the Father's right hand because then He could send the Holy Ghost, who would bring to our remembrance all things whatsoever He has said. Old Testament, New Testament, it's all the Word of God, brethren. There is no division. If there's a paper dividing your Old Testament from New Testament, that page needs to be ripped out. It's all the Word of God. It is a consistent whole. Abraham's faith did not justify him by its own merit or value, but rather his faith gave him a part in Messiah. I hope you understand that, brethren. Abraham's faith did not justify him by his own merit or value, by the simple merit or value of the faith. That was not what did the justifying, no. It was his faith that gave him a part in Messiah, in Christ, whose name is called the Word of God. God said so, brethren, God said so, has great authority. And gives His people great authority in Messiah. For two reasons that cannot change. Two immutable facts. God does not change. God cannot lie. Yeshua the Messiah, whose name is called the Word of God, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And it is not possible for God to lie. It would be contrary to His nature, as well as to His will. And since He cannot lie, the destruction of the unbeliever is just as sure as the salvation of the believer. Both are certain, brethren. This is why we've got to make that choice. You see, our confidence, our security, our authority in Messiah is by faith in knowing God said so. The encouragement of God is strong enough to support His people under their heaviest trials. God said so. Can give great joy in great tribulation. Jesus Christ died for sinners. Yeshua is the refuge and the only refuge for all sinners who flee to the mercy of God through the redemption of Messiah. There is no other safe place. Only in Christ is there an anchor to hold in this coming storm, brethren. We are like a ship at sea, tossed up and down, in danger of being cast away. And we need an anchor to keep us sure and steady. Jesus Christ died for sinners, the one whose name is called the Word of God. He said so. God said so. God said so is the anchor in the storms of this great tribulation. God said so. It is sure. It is steadfast. It is solid. Or it could not keep us in this coming storm. Jesus Christ, the Word of God, is the object and the ground of the believer's hope. That's why his name is called the Word of God. So let us therefore set our affections on things above. And if necessary, let us wait patiently for his appearance, when we shall certainly appear with him, because God said so, in glory, hallelujah. Because God said so, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm going to share just a few things I can think of off the top of my head regarding faith, so that you understand, and that your understanding is not based on anything other than God said so. Here's a few things that Jesus showed us about faith. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he says, O daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. And then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. And he said unto them, where is your faith? And they being afraid wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. And then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith be it unto you. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Hallelujah. And Jesus answering saith unto him, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. And therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Now faith, this is what we're looking for, brethren, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, whom having not seen you love, in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, brethren, it all fits together. I hope you're seeing it. What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart and be in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it have not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar, seeing thou hast faith wrought with his works? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. And likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers, and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Brethren, we don't put the works before the faith. We don't put the cart before the horse on this. We're not justified by our works. But brother, if we have been justified, the works are going to be there. You cannot separate faith and obedience. You cannot separate faith and works. Now, we are saved by faith. But if you got faith, the works are going to be there. Yeah, brethren. If you got faith, the works are going to be there. You're not justified by the works. But if you got faith justifying faith, the works are going to be there. Brethren, it all fits together. But whoso has this world's goods and sees his brother have need and shuts up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him. And the child was cured from that very hour. And then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief. For verily, I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. So we see they could not enter in because of unbelief. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Brethren, can we be fully persuaded? Can we, with childlike faith, grab hold by faith of the fact and reality of what it means when we know that God said so? God said so. God said so. God said so. Now, the question is, do you know what God said? Maybe it's time we read the King James Version Holy Bible again. Every word, line upon line, line upon line, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21, in the order that God put it together for us, in the way He arranged it and preserved it for us, while we still have access to be able to learn what God said. Soon, you're going to find it's going to be an international hate crime to be found reading the King James Version Holy Bible, to be able to know and to be able to say, God said so. Oh, that scares the hell out of the devil. People that walk around with real faith based upon God said so, and people who really know a lot about what God said, and they've got this faith in the power of the Holy Ghost. But those people who know a whole lot of what God said so, and they are filled with the Holy Ghost, the devil don't like them people. They make all hell tremble. Ah, this is the mystery of the ages, brethren. Hallelujah. This is a greater works time. This is exploit time. You see, it already is almost impossible in most parts of the world to get a King James Version Holy Bible. Now, you can get any of these unholy Bibles, but you try and find you a King James Version Holy Bible in Europe, it's tough today. And this door of opportunity, brethren, for us to get to know God said so, is closing fast in whatever part of the world we're in. But are we fully persuaded? No compromise regarding one way of salvation. One body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. And if that be so, brethren, if that be so, why can we not walk worthy of such a high calling? The walk is in lowliness and in meekness, the ability to endure insult without retaliation, with long suffering, and forbearing one another in love. Faith works by love, brethren. You see how all this fits together. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Listening to the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Radio Network, and this is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you that the King is coming. The Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is located at www.moreshoreword.com. That's all one word, all small letters, www.moreshoreword.com. That's www.moreshoreword.com. On that website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and prepare to endure to the end of this 42-month Antichrist war on the saints. Once again, this is Jim Searcy reminding you that the King is coming.
And our king said, when we see these things come to pass, that we are to look up and know that our redemption draweth nigh. Only be very strong and of good courage. Stay in the word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus.